When I was 16, my dad got stationed in Germany, and we ended up in a place called Baumholder, way up in the mountains of Germany. 8th Infantry Pathfinders, it was an artillery company. Every morning you wake up to the boom, boom, boom of cannons being blasted at artillery. And Archie Bell had come over and doing a USO show in Kaiserslautern. It's by Ramstein Air Base, where all of the, and Landstuhl Air Base, where they fly all the wounded people from Iraq. Anytime wounded people, they go to Landstuhl.
Ramstein is very
Well Ramstein, known. Landstuhl Air Base is where they have the big hospital. And so Archie Bell had done this famous song called The Tighten Up. He's from Houston. Hi, everybody. It's Archie Bell and the Drills. We're going to do this song, Tighten Up. And so we went, a bunch of us, and he had everybody come on the stage to show us, teach us how to do the Tighten Up.
Oh.
So I learned how to do the Tighten Up.
Yeah.
So that's why I was telling you. Those of you missed the first part when I was telling Dave to do the tighten up, to tighten up the shot.
That's right.
Right. So news you can use and maybe not use. But anyway, Dave, here we go. I'm tired of going solo, Dave.
Yeah. Never again.
This is. Yes, we are born again, and we're happy to be with you on this Saturday morning.
Yes.
Wherever you are. And, wow, what a week, everybody.
Yes.
Vladimir finally pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
You know what? I am not even going to try any longer to predict what he's going to do.
Oh, Eddie, all we've got is just an influx of undocumented Ukrainian immigrants.
What in the world?
Yeah.
My point being, you know, Obama or Biden can literally say, we need to rush the border. We need to have a massive influx come in of undocumented immigrants. That's his stand here. But Ukraine, oh my God, we got to protect their borders.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I was headed in another direction.
I know.
At this point, we will eventually get there, but that is true. But no, what gets me about the whole deal is I've been watching. I wake up every morning to Fox Business, and then in the evenings, I may move over to Tucker and watch him, and then I go to Newsmax.
Yes.
I go back and forth.
Rob Schmidt.
Rob Schmidt, right, and I'll watch, what's his name, at 6 o'clock, used to be on Fox.
Oh, Kelly,
Greg Kelly. His dad was the police commissioner in New York City. So anyway, I'll go all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, Fox Business I love in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I love Fox Business. But that's my morning wake-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fox Business is my morning wake-up. But in each of them, they have these different pundits. And, you know, they're all over the place. Like I said, they're all over the place. So I'm done. I'm not even going to try because they're all wrong. It's like every last one of them seems to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what was that lady's name? Jean Dixon.
Mm.
You know, Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
the fortune teller.
The psychic.
The psychic, that's right. I used to call her a psychic. Mm. But, yeah, a psychic is, you know, and, you know, once every 10 years, something happens that she might have predicted or something. But I've been known to try to figure out what might happen or could happen. But I'm done. I don't, you know, I think. The only thing I can say with a certainty is that our president, Joseph Biden, and our vice president, Kamala Harris, they really don't know what they're doing. And they've got people with them that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they are not getting any help from their European so-called partners, neighbors, It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. There are several things they could have done early on, could still do possibly, mm-hmm. but it's getting later and later, okay?
Yeah.
The first thing they should not have done, let's go back, let's back up. First thing they should never have done was freeze the Canadian pipeline, okay?
Yeah.
The pipeline of oil coming from Canada.
Yep.
We were the net exporter of oil and gas. Natural gas, but no, we decided we don't want to be a producer of oil and gas.
Oh, no.
We want to be an importer. Do you know that we import over 500,000 barrels of oil a month from Russia?
Yeah. Yeah.
From Russia.
We're helping to bankroll his military.
From Russia.
Yeah.
And we're still doing it.
Yeah.
We haven't cut it off. Why? Because we need it.
Yeah.
And we only have produced 300
mm-hmm.
and some thousand barrels of yeah. oil ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could have been getting that Alberta oil through the Keystone.
To the Keystone pipeline.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that was 800
million. That was 800. We wouldn't need any Russian.
Right.
And we could have been exporting
mm-hmm.
the liquefied natural gas to Europe.
Right.
So they wouldn't need. And we had the ban on the Trans-Siberian.
Yeah.
Or the one that's going through the Baltic Ocean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Trump wouldn't have allowed him to build that.
Right.
He's supposed to be the friend to Putin.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not allow them to build that to Germany.
Yeah.
Biden's supposed to be the guy who's going to stop Putin. He knows him. Putin's afraid of him,
yeah.
but he lets him do it.
Yeah.
And now the Germans are saying.
Which that's a key to understanding the left politically. Yeah. Whatever they accuse the right of doing, that tells you what they are doing.
Yeah.
They accuse Trump of being a puppet of Putin. And now who's the puppet?
Yes.
Yeah.
More, actually, it's more than a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that begins with B and rhymes with itch.
Got an itch? Yeah.
Nah, seriously, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. I don't even know what to say. It's just that way.
Okay.
And then and as we said, Kamala,
mm-hmm.
she just goes over and embarrasses herself, and she tries to talk tough, and it just doesn't work. And then she's like wagging a finger at these Europeans, and they're mm-hmm. sitting there. That's one thing you do not do to a European.
Mm-hmm.
You do not talk sternly to a European.
Oh, yeah. Because
they do not like that.
Or
especially,
condescending.
Especially if you're black.
Yeah.
You do not talk to, you do not talk to the true descendants of Nazis who have not gotten the whole Nazi thing out of there. Remember, they're the superior race.
Yeah.
They still think they're the superior race, and yet she's going to come over and they're sitting there, what? You mongrel talking to us like this. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, that's it. There's no respect there. There's no respect. I mean, it's like ridiculous. I mean, it is. You can, this is no joke, you can actually have an African leader, a true bona fide African leader that speaks with intelligence,
mm-hmm.
respect, and dignity, speak to the Europeans
mm-hmm.
in Europe, and they will respect that more than having this finger-wagging person mm-hmm. with no class, no intelligence, that is supposed to be some kind of vice president of the United States coming mm-hmm. to speak to them. That was just an affront. That was an affront to the Europeans.
And nobody does condescending better than Kamala. You know, she will play that school marm kind of shame on you kind of thing. And that ain't going to sell over there.
No.
Yeah, it ain't going to sell.
No. Even black people in America don't like it.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
Hey,
and then,
you want some good news?
That cackling, oh, man. Yeah. It just, when you think of her, it's like, it almost reminds you of the Wicked Witch of the West or something, you know, and you keep thinking, somebody please pour water on this lady.
Eddie, you're just a racist.
Yeah, I guess. I guess, against Indians.
Which, by the way.
East Indians. East yeah. Indians. Yeah. She's actually, if you don't know, she's half Indian. We're yeah. talking from India.
Yeah.
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 At least be half white.
Yeah. And here's the other.
I'm really stepping in it now. I'm really going to catch it now. At least yeah. be white, not. I'm racist against
that's
Indian.
That's the white side of you, the white racist hey, listen, side of you.
Some of my best friends are Indian. let me dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Who else can I offend today? Where are you from? Where are you from? Holland? The Dutch? Oh, those wimps. Those Dutch people. If it weren't for us.
They're Tulip boys.
Yeah. The Tulip
boys. I got to say, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, who Putin yesterday called a Nazi. Zelensky's Jewish. Really? Okay, you want some good news? This is breaking news.
It's breaking news.
You Saturday heard
it
first. Morning.
You heard it right here.
So,
I'm not pointing for you. Right here.
Separating the Black Sea from the Mediterranean Sea is the Straits of Istanbul, right? Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey.
Turkey has put up a blockade, is not allowing the Russian military fleets to get back into the Black Sea.
Right.
That happened this morning from Turkey.
Right, right, which is unusual.
But they're a NATO state, right?
Right. There so that's the problem. So now they've upped the ante a little bit because if Russia fires on Turkey, then it will be a direct altercation with a NATO state, which will then usher in a war between NATO and Russia and the beginning of World War
III. This is our Archduke Ferdinand moment. You know, potentially.
The problem is, and as I said, I'm not predicting anything. I don't know anything. I just want to say what could happen.
Yeah. And anything.
With Vladimir, Vlad, we just don't know, but he's crazy enough to do anything.
So right now. Yesterday I spent the day with a Russian immigrant his family is from the east coast of the Black Sea. Not quite far south as Georgia, but you know, definitely south of Moscow and east of Ukraine. He said, I finally said to him, his name's Vladimir, you know, surprise. Vladimir. Yeah. I said, and he's Vladimir Jr. because his dad's name is Vladimir. His dad and their family came here in 89 as political immigrants. They were persecuted Christians, lives in Broken Arrow. But anyway, I said, Vlad, I said, I don't know. You would know more than I would. It doesn't seem to me like there's really a good guy in this fight. He says, oh, no, Ukraine, you can't. Ukraine's got enough baggage, hypocrisy, and corruption. He says, it's hard to say. He says, but you cannot excuse what Putin's doing at all.
No, and I got into a deal with a guy on Facebook. Yeah, this is what's weird. He's a German guy who lives in Amsterdam trying to argue with us about the whole deal. You know, I mean, that's what gets me, all these people that live in Europe that want to tell us how Americans should act. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But here's the deal. I was pointing out in Russia, 1,800 Russians have been arrested now for protesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I posted, kind of reminds you of Ottawa and Washington, D.C. There's no violence. They didn't do anything, basically, and they've been arrested, you know. Probably won't have any trial. They've just been accused of subversion,
right,
treason, or whatever.
Right, no hearing.
No hearing, and so forth. And so it's just, and this guy's going off, you know, oh, you can't compare this to Washington, D.C. or Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, what do you mean I can't?
Yeah.
Yes, I can. We are. And it's a very similar situation.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't realize this. Putin made a speech several months ago in which he's the only one. CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, none of the MSNBC, none of the so-called mainstream media has yet to mention the name Ashley Babbitt.
Oh, yeah.
And if they did, they did not mention it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And Vladimir Putin is the only one who has mentioned
right.
the fact that our government killed an unarmed woman
yes.
for protesting against our government.
Right.
So we're not that blameless in calling him this ruthless dictator
yeah. Yeah.
in their government. Our government right now really cannot wag a finger or anything
yeah.
at Russia. Now, having said that, what's going on in Ukraine is not a good thing. It's not a pretty thing. Don't misunderstand me, okay? The Ukrainian people, if they want to be independent, let them be independent,
mm-hmm.
okay? Let them be independent.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not that holy. We mm-hmm. are not that spotless and blameless.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own issues, and I wish our government and our people mm-hmm. would understand that and get a hold of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's at stake here is a principle in our Constitution called habeas corpus. It's a Latin word, you know.
Would you please explain for those people out yeah, there and in here that may not
understand? To bring before the body, or in this application, to bring it before a court, a judge. To have your day in court is what the common man would call it. Is that if they're going to arrest you, they have to present a case before a judge. And what you said here about Putin just arresting people and just holding them, that's only happened in a wide scale officially in the United States during the Civil War when Abe Lincoln, on his own, suspended habeas corpus. He just locked people up and kept them locked up. But it's happening with the January 6th protest, right? There's people waiting there. They're not being offered bail, which is another right, a right to bail, a right to accusers, a right to our day in court, a right to know the charges against you. And Putin is correct in that, you know, we're no saints here in the U.S. government, whether it's Biden or go back to Lincoln, okay? So, and yeah, this is also what's going on in Ottawa. You know, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got two so-called free republics
mm-hmm.
that are not acting like free republics.
Yeah,
we're acting more like the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're acting like, or right. Communist China, the People's Republic of China.
Yeah,
the CCP or the
yeah.
People's Republic of North Korea. Have you ever noticed that the countries that are the most anti-democratic always have, or anti-people or anti-freedom are always named the People's Republic.
Oh, yeah. Or they're overcompensating the
democratic,
for
like
yeah.
East Germany. East Germany used to be called the Deutsche Demokratik, or the Democratic Republic of Germany, the DDR, mm-hmm. the Deutsche Democratic Republic, okay? They were the Democratic Republic, but they weren't. They were the Communist right. Germany, okay? The People's Republic of China, the North Korea
yep.
is the People's Republic of North
right.
Korea, okay? Yep. And all of these countries that are not free, the nations that are not democratic are always calling themselves democratic mm-hmm. or the Republic of the People
mm-hmm.
because they're fooling themselves or trying to fool others. Which brings me to another point. It hit me this week, and I saw it. Tucker, actually, and others have been playing these clips of all of these senators, congresspeople, including Adam Kinzinger, and Liz Cheney, a lot of Republicans. I think Mitt Romney may have been one of them. And they're all talking about an attack on our democracy. Our democracy is under attack. Oh, and of course, our talking heads on MSNBC, CNN, mm-hmm. NBC, ABC, CBS. The attack on our democracy. Our democracy this, our democracy that. It's like mm-hmm. they're trying their best to put into our minds that what is going on from the right, the conservative people of America, mm-hmm. Republicans in particular, it's the Republicans that are attacking our so-called democracy. Mm-hmm. They're lying to you. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the opposite.
Sure.
Now, when I was in seminary, mm-hmm. I got the privilege of studying under the late, great Walter Martin.
Mm, yes.
The author of the book Kingdom of the Cults. Mm-hmm. He's the world's, was the world's foremost cult apologist. In other words, his whole life was dedicated to exposing
yes.
cults mm-hmm. and how people, and not just exposing the cults, but the methodology of cults, mm-hmm. how people got into the cults and how mm-hmm. cults got people into them.
Yep.
And in the very first chapter, the intro and first chapter dealt with the psychology and what they did. It was redefining terms. Mm-hmm. What was the old thing of Barack Obama? He who controls the language controls. Well,
I thought that was Pat Campbell that said that.
Pat Campbell? No, yeah. No.
He said that.
Well, he used to say it, but yeah. it was a.
Yeah, it's been around a long time.
Yeah. Pat did many great things. Pat was a good guy. He was my buddy, my partner.
Yeah.
But this one a little higher on the food chain.
Yeah.
But anyway. So if you control the language, you control the people, basically. Mm-hmm. You control the ideas. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do. So, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses, that's why when you talk to a cult person or say a Mormon, this is what it dealt with in the Kingdom of the Cults. There were many others. It wasn't just those religions. There were many others that he talked about. But when you talk to these people and you talk to them about, you know, Jesus being the Son of God or salvation and everything, mm-hmm. you can't just use those terms because they have taken those terms and redefined them.
Right.
And so what the Democrat Party is trying to do and the left is trying to do, they're trying to redefine the term democracy.
Yes.
And to them, democracy basically is whatever they want it to be. Mm-hmm. And in their mind, democracy is what they want it to be and their control.
Right.
Anything attacking what they want you to believe and want you to do, that's democracy.
Right.
So if you challenge their power, their authority, mm-hmm. their autocracy, it's really autocracy mm-hmm. that they're talking about.
Yep.
You do what we say. If you go against what we say, you're attacking democracy.
Yeah, and that really shows you just what's motivating the left here. Whether it be January 6th being, what'd they say? It was a worse attack than Pearl Harbor, right?
Worse than 9/11.
When the Antifa riots took place, why, they went out and joined the riot, right? Including taking over federal buildings, burning down government buildings, and, you know, declaring autonomy and, you know, autonomous zones.
In the Washington, D.C. riots, they were throwing Molotov cocktails, rocks, chunks of cement. They were tearing up statues and throwing them at the police. They had police bloodied and beaten and all kinds of stuff.
And Kamala Harris.
Urine, water bottles filled with urine at the police and everything. And, they're just exercising their First Amendment speech rights.
And Kamala Harris was raising money to bail them out of jail.
For their free speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really what it comes down to, now let me take this to Ottawa, because, you know, Fidel Jr., Trudeau.
Justin.
Yeah, Justin Fidel.
Castro. Justin Castro.
I supported Black Lives Matter. I went out there and joined that. But all of a sudden, he's got to call a state of emergency and martial law to take over, you know, more powers and then redefine through agencies what banking laws are. And I mean, why? It's because their political, you know, design is threatened.
Right.
Their politics is threatened. Therefore, it's a national emergency.
Right. But don't forget the point. Don't get distracted from the point that when you hear them use the word democracy, they're really meaning autocracy.
Yeah.
you do what we say. Mm-hmm. You are children of the state.
Yep.
Okay. We are the power. You listen to us because we're smarter than you yokel locals. Okay. You are a bunch of ignorant people. We are the wise. We're the ones that need to tell you how to think and how to act. And anybody that tells you otherwise, they're a threat to your democracy. Mm. I mean, that's as basic and as simple as it gets. And this is how these people think. And this is something we have to fight against. Mm. And you fight against it in two ways. One is through prayer, and the other one is through our words.
Yep.
It's the sword and it's the shield. Okay. The prayer defends us. The word is our attack. Okay.
Yep.
And in the word, it goes two ways. It's the prayer and the faith. Okay. We just have to believe. Seriously. We just have to believe. And in fact, we're going to take a break a little bit early here, and I want to play this song. It's going to be a little longer. Okay. You can fast forward through it if you want on the video or on the podcast if you want. But I think you should listen. This is by a group, Salvador, Hispanic group out of San Angelo, Texas. This song is ministered to me so many times, but it's so, so good. And the name of the song is When I Pray.
Well, I wanted to say, when we come back, the Truckers Convoy is coming to Oklahoma this weekend. I want to bring that up when we get back.
Okay.
God that put the world into motion. It's
Oh, yes. Salvador, when I pray. Yeah, that song has been a favorite of mine for a long time. And, you know, I want you to just not listen with your ears, but let that sink in. The very same God who dreamt of the oceans and put the world into motion, he listens to me, is what he says. That he's listening to what you and I, actually listens to what you and I say when we pray. And it's very important that we understand it. Because sometimes we can think of God. I remember before I became a Christian, Dave. Mm-hmm. Dave's busy looking for the latest stuff. No,
yeah.
Seriously, when before I became a Christian, I was believing God. But I thought he was out there somewhere. And at the end, you know, when we die or whatever, that he has this scale and he's going to weigh it. And if I do more good than bad, then I get to go to heaven or at that time being a Catholic, purgatory.
Yeah.
I might make it to purgatory, you know. But I didn't really understand that he was here all the time listening, watching, mm-hmm. and that my words had power. And I remember when we went to, my wife and I, in 1981, we joined Youth with a Mission.
Yeah.
And we used to do, every morning we had intercession time. Mm-hmm. We each had groups that we were a part of. And so we did this intercession. And when we did, we would have this book and we would take a nation or a group or something that we would pray for.
Yep.
And so I remember we were praying for El Salvador. It's funny, name a group of Salvador, and we were praying for El Salvador. Yeah. But anyway, and because it was really bad, they had these death squads. I don't know if you remember all this stuff that was going in El Salvador. This was in the early 80s.
Yep.
And it was really bad down there. And different things we would pray for. And we prayed, you know, just every morning we'd pray for El Salvador. We'd pray for this country, that country, and different things like that.
Yep.
And that's when I first started understanding intercession. And we were there for about 4 months. And in that 4 months, it's funny, but the whole thing in El Salvador changed in that 4 months. And then here's the real one. I remember I led a team to Uganda. Mm-hmm. And Uganda was really bad. This would have been 1984. And I was teaching discipleship in Uganda.
Yep.
And I hope you'll excuse me but for taking a spiritual moment here, but I was teaching discipleship to these leaders there. And in this, we had these pastors come in from these villages. Mm-hmm. And so the thing I was, and then they had this group of believers. They called it a believers meeting. And these leaders in this town, the so-called true believers, the had been through a lot, older people, real prayer warriors. So I taught them that, you know, you just have to start doing spiritual warfare and pray. Because what happened, they had roadblocks every 5 miles with these drunk soldiers and everything. And they would stop people. They were drunk. They were beating men, raping and molesting women and stealing their things. And the people were just terrified. And so these pastors, when they came into town, they were afraid because they would be stopped at these roadblocks and robbed. And it was really difficult. So I remember teaching one night at this believers meeting and telling me, people, you don't need to put up with this, that we need to just pray this out of here, you know. And I was teaching from Ezekiel about how corrupt the leaders and the rulers and those who had authority over them were, and we need to just believe and pray this out of there. And mm-hmm. so the people, we really got down and had a serious prayer meeting. And so the next day we had one of these meetings with these pastors coming in from around the country. And so I was in front of the room, and in the back there were these these pastors and one of the leaders from the local group, and there was some murmuring going on. They were talking, and they were looking at my way, and the one guy, what? You know, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And the guy had this big, bright-eyed look on his face, and he came to me. He said, Brother Huff, you won't believe what happened. They just told me they were coming in this morning, and the roadblocks are gone. They've just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, really? You know, and so it was just, and yes, it could have been a coincidence,
mm-hmm.
but it was just after that evening where I just challenged the people to just believe, and we just prayed these roadblocks gone, and it just happened the next day, the roadblocks were all gone. So I've just learned that to trust God and believe. When you pray, if you're not praying and believing that God is actually on the other end or right there with you when you pray, quit praying.
He hears us.
You're just wasting your time. I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been that kid. If I'm in a room or with a group of people that I don't believe in the mm-hmm. prayer, or I don't believe people are serious about praying, I just won't pray. I'm not kidding. I really, there's been times I just said, okay, you know, I said, man, these people aren't serious.
Yeah.
You know, this is not serious. People are going through the motions.
I agree with you.
And just don't pray.
Out of a sense of respect for what prayer is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
you have to respect it, to not allow it to be taken in vain.
Right.
You know,
right.
you've got to respect what you're doing. It's just like an old pastor of mine says, you know what? When somebody comes to me, they want some advice, I give them something simple but very pertinent. And he says, if they don't accept that advice, I quit giving them anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
you have to have some respect for yourself and what you have to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I'll never forget my great-grandmother, on my dad's side. She was 104 years old. Mm-hmm. She passed away. And this was in Philadelphia. And they did her funeral. And I guess she went to this church. It was an old traditional black church there in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the head pastor was called in to do, and you could tell he was in a hurry or something. And there was an older pastor who was like 99.
Mm-hmm.
he and his wife were a few years behind my granny. They were just waiting to join granny.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this younger guy walks in. And you could tell he was in a hurry. He might have even been wiping his mouth off from dinner or something. I don't mm-hmm. know. But you could tell he was preoccupied. And so he gets up to do the prayer or whatever over, say some words.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks the Bible and he flips over, you know, open the Bible. And he goes to Psalm 1. He's like, oh, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you should have just stayed wherever you came from. No, I mean, seriously, you know, you'd have done us a bigger favor. You'd have just stayed where you came from, you know, and so the next day, at the graveside, the old man, the old 90 some year pastor came up, you know, and he, you know, he hobbles up to the grave, and his wife is right there. I'll never forget this. So these people, I guess what you call them, I call them grave diggers, I guess. The people who had dug the grave, and they were lowering her down
mm-hmm.
slowly into, and this little old lady was standing there watching them, you know, this mm-hmm. little, seriously, it's probably 96, 97 year old lady. She's watching them put in that. And she goes, beautiful, beautiful. He said, they put her away. They laid her away. They didn't throw her away. Seriously, she said, they laid her away. They didn't throw her away. She said, and I'm looking at this lady to try not to laugh. And she said, yeah, it's a shame. I was at a funeral the other day, and that casket was just bumping all up against the sides of the walls, and they just threw that lady away. And I was just dying. But this older pastor, you could tell his words were serious, you know, about my great-grandmother. And David,
yeah,
if you don't get off that computer, I'm going to break your fingers and throw that thing across the room, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, this guy, his words were very, very touching and very serious. And he really, it was just a whole different feeling. And that's when it comes today. So, for example, if you're out there worried and wondering about Ukraine, if you're worried and wondering about the world situation, and you're going to pray, you've got to, first of all, believe. I'm getting real preachy here today, but I think it's very important.
It's good.
And what I want to say, it's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, those who come to God must first believe that he is, and second, this is just as important, you must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
Okay? So, first, believe that he is. So, if you're going to pray, first, believe that you're actually praying to someone who exists. You're not just saying a prayer in the air. That you're praying to a God who exists.
Yeah.
And then, 11:6b, and believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
Don't leave the diligently out.
Yeah.
Well, I saw God and he didn't hear me.
See, Eddie, you and I grew up in a system of religion that basically taught us God rewards works. But the verse that came before, which you just quote, says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Your works mean nothing until you establish faith in God. And then what you said clearly defined or fleshed out what that is.
Aren't you so glad I got you off that computer so you could actually...
You know,
by the way, you know, it's funny. I just realized what I'm wearing here today.
Faith like Noah.
I didn't even think of that until you started, and I realized faith. But, yeah.
Well, the journal...
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people that talk about God, God and everything, and that is the... I mean, honestly, seriously, you know, if you think about Old Testament, okay, they didn't have a Bible.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much emphasis on us reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get into the Word, brother. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten into the Word? Mm-hmm. You know, you study that Word, know that Word, this is the Word. Get up at 5 in the morning and read the Word. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's good. It's important and good to know the Word, okay?
Yeah.
But, do you know God?
Yeah.
You know, and do you have the faith? Because without faith, you can read, it's just black letters on white paper.
Sure, yeah. And I want to say this, a little bit of self-reflection, because I'm noticing it, the optics of me doing some research for an upcoming segment. It looks horrible. If we were doing radio, I'd be getting by with it.
But I know. Well,
it was my idea to put the cameras
on Podbean.
I know. So anyway, but here's my thing, Eddie. You and I talk current events, culture, politics, right? But people who tune in to what we have to say can't get around the fact that that's not what really is our anchor. Our anchor is our faith.
Right.
I know it is for you. I try to keep it as my anchor in my own life, you know, and it's a daily pilgrimage for all of us. And that, but that's who we are. We go to God. And so we're not going to be controlled by what's on the headlines, what's in the computer. We try to stay up with it, but we have to apply the spiritual principles to it. So,
exactly right. In fact, you know, you mentioned this book, Y'all Have Sinned. And I'm not just trying to plug the book here, seriously, because that I even outlined this in the introduction or the preface, whatever. I was horrible in English. I don't know which is which. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
But I say that it's a mixture of world history, biblical history, and politics.
Sure.
And to me, you can't separate world history from biblical history, and you can't separate it from political reality, okay? You know, the world, and I mentioned this, secular humanists say they want to separate church from state. Well, you can separate churches from state, but you cannot separate the church from state because the church, we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
We are the church and we are the state. And that's what I try to point out, that you cannot separate people's faith or lack thereof. So, okay, I talk about, did you read about S.M. Lockridge, his statement?
A little bit.
Okay, S.M. Lockridge was this famous black preacher. I got the privilege, praise God, of hearing him. Oh, unbelievable, mm-hmm. unbelievable preacher. But the one sermon he gave, it was at Melody Land. They called him in. He was from San Diego. He was mm-hmm. in San Diego. And he made the statement. He said, God took something from nothing,
mm-hmm.
put it nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and told it to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He took something from, and think about this. He took something from nothing, put it nowhere, and made it stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, now a secular humanist would say, well, that's ridiculous. You can't, you're thinking. I said, okay, so you're basically saying that something came from nothing and made itself stay there, right?
Yeah.
So you're asking me to believe that something came from nothing and made itself mm-hmm. stay there.
Now that would take faith.
That, yeah. I mean, now you tell me how that is any less faith than what Lockridge just said, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't tell me you're not exercising faith and I am.
Yeah.
So you just take that whole secular humanism and that separation of church and faith, I'm calling BS and throwing it out as yeah. much. So if I'm not allowed to teach my stuff, mm-hmm. you're not allowed to teach your stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, as much as mm-hmm. I. Either that or we teach it all and let the winner mm-hmm. be decided by the hearer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. We cannot separate church, the people, mm-hmm. from the state.
Right. I will say, if you allow the government to define patriotism for you, you are in big trouble, because they will want you to think it's how passionately you support the state, when patriotism is a set of values that draws us together. Our patriotism is about who we are, not who DC is.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets back to the same thing, like redefining terms,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They get to define patriotism. To them, a patriot is somebody who defends their vision, okay? They think Colonel Vindman,
mm-hmm.
who is the biggest traitor since Benedict Arnold, yeah. okay? Maybe the head, what's the Secretary of Defense? He may be a bigger one. I don't know. Or no, I know who it is. John Kerry.
Yeah.
Gee. Oh. I don't want to get sidetracked. Anyway, but yeah, they're going to define what a patriot is. They're going to define what democracy is. They're going to define what a hero is. They're going to define all of these things, and we cannot let them redefine those terms.
So I have to tell you, a friend of mine, former legislator, said, you know the difference between a war and a revolution? A war is when the government tells you who the enemy is. Revolution is when you figure it out for yourself. I'm sorry, I stepped out. You were
no. That's exactly right. It's another one. That's another way to start. What is it? January 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have they turned into? January 6th is an insurrection. All of a sudden. No, it wasn't.
It was
a protest.
With a few rowdy people in it.
Yeah, which might have been sabotaged.
Yes.
It was a subverted act of mm-hmm.
chaos
protest.
Actors, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And one day, I believe someone will get to the bottom of it.
Oh, it was the FBI themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe that if the fall elections go as we hope they go and we replace the bad actors in Congress mm-hmm. and the Senate and we have the proper hearings, I think at that point we will find out who these bad actors really were, and we'll find out who, what's the guy's name? The guy in, that was, he's been picked up on several videos trying to egg it on.
There's a few. A young black guy who's with Antifa.
That guy.
Yeah, Sullivan. But you also had Ray Epps.
Ray Epps. Yeah, he's the guy that somehow has disappeared, and nobody can explain what's going on with Ray Epps. So,
yeah, it's Stuart Rhodes with it's called Oath Keepers. A lot of people are wondering if that isn't an FBI plant.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we got spiritual and all of that. Let's finish this segment with one other thing real quickly. Harry and Meghan.
Yes.
I thought I opened with this, but I guess it was in my old mind here. Harry and Meghan apparently won't go back to England. They're afraid to go back to England. You know why?
Why?
Because they won't have the royal bodyguards protecting them anymore, and so they're afraid for their children that they won't have the royal security.
Afraid of the commoners.
Yeah, and they're going to have to pay for their own security if they want. Now, with the $20 million that they've gotten from Netflix for the 5 minutes of work they did on this special they're supposed to be producing, which they have only done 5 minutes worth of. You talk about a dysfunctional couple.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, pretty soon we're going to see them on Skid Row with the rest of the LA crowd.
You know what Trump attributes to? Trump actually likes Harry. He said, but he is like, oh, God help you, Harry. You're going to need it. Meghan's the loose wire.
Oh, really? He thinks Harry's okay.
I think Harry's whipped. I think he's going to have to say enough of this crap.
Poor Harry. Harry.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, it was obvious that Meghan is trouble. She's a mess.
Yeah.
He stepped in it. I don't know if that's gonna last, how it's gonna last. You're gonna see one of these days you're gonna see Harry, and Meghan's gonna be he's gonna be in the back holding up a sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you, and this is part of why I got distracted. I didn't do my homework earlier. There's a really big issue going on, and it's going to hit Tulsa tomorrow. Let's talk when we get back about the convoy to D.C. and how the left is using misinformation. They're telling everybody it's canceled. We'll talk about it.
Okay, sounds good to me.
I sniffle.
We caught that. So we just learned something. Yeah. Dave sniffles.
Yes. The real Dave.
The real Dave.
The doppelganger doesn't, But anyway.
Hey, a couple of things. You mentioned, so the truck convoy.
Right.
Is coming through Tulsa.
Yes, so Sunday.
On Sunday, okay, so they're not going straight across I-40.
No, right, and this is an interesting thing because they're gonna move to I-44 at Oklahoma City tomorrow morning and then come up through Tulsa and then stop in Vineta.
In Vineta?
Yes, and this is what they're doing. They're staying overnight in smaller towns.
Wow.
Okay, tonight... We're recording Saturday around noon. Saturday night's Elk City, and then Sunday night is Vineta. But, hey, let's stay tuned. Now, get this. Do not get your information from Google, because I just did, and they sent me to every left-wing news outlet, and they did not send me to anything that actually had real information.
Well, we had better get on Facebook, since this doesn't come out till midnight tonight.
Right.
we better get this information out sooner.
So I pulled up MSNBC because they had this wacko headline that said it's been canceled. They said when they left Vegas, they were down to 5 trucks and they just canceled it. That's what the left would want you to believe.
Okay. So where do we get the real news?
Yeah, and I'm still trying to find that out.
Okay,
let's see. I almost had it, but somebody told me get off the computer. So
You mean somebody would do that? Yeah, tell you they weren't going to break your fingers, were they?
Yeah, and you know, these things just happen. Any news happens while our show's going on. And so we've got to find out, you know, what's going on there. So get on social media. I would bet you Rumble's going to have it. I bet you Getter's going to have information on it.
Hey, by the way, I want to say something. I was looking over here along with the book. I need your help. I quit drinking coffee. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I get migraines.
Oh,
yeah. I can't help it. I'm going to go back to drinking some coffee at some point. I have these pills that I can take and they'll help me. Mm. I'm not just saying this. This is actual Ugandan coffee imported from Uganda.
I had it this morning.
We printed. We roasted it here in Tulsa. But it's called Ugandan Mist. Ugandan Mist, okay. And you can order it. You can get it online or you can call here. If you go to the website, UgandanMist.com, now I think I fixed it. You can go to FreshBlackCoffee.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's working now, FreshBlackCoffee.com. And it'll take you to the same place. And it'll have the coffee. It has this. It's got the Gorilla Roast, which is dark and gentle. It's a little richer.
I had this morning.
Okay. Did you have some of that too?
I have not.
You haven't tried it?
I'm good with this one. Yeah. I am a wimp. I grew up near Canada. That makes me bland, okay? But I opened that packet this morning. And, oh, man, it was awesome.
Just bland, is that kind of like white?
Vanilla white, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. No, we do this too. We do this generally. Yeah. But that is a little stronger, the Gorilla Roast. Mm-hmm. But the medium is a fuller taste, but it's not bitter. It's real smooth.
Oh,
that's
very
what's smooth. So weird. It's really full taste.
Really smooth.
But it's all at Ugandan Mist, UgandanMist.com or FreshBlackCoffee.com.
Nice.
Which is weird. I can't believe FreshBlackCoffee.com was not taken. Both of them take you to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It was an accident that it happened. It was a
Eddie's a techie geek now.
No, it was he wouldn't do it. He's usually that, and he wouldn't do it. He's too busy. So I said, well, let me try it, and accidentally, and I got there.
All by yourself. That's good, Eddie.
All by myself. No, you don't want me to do that. Hey, listen, before this show totally deteriorates, you know, I think I've got to tell you something. You may notice if you're watching on video, a lot of times I'm looking off the camera here. It's because I'm watching that stupid little, I don't know, what is it, a screen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there watching us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to flip it around so I'm not watching us. That way I'm looking into the actual camera and not looking at you and me.
See, I'm looking at this screen and you tell me get off.
Yeah, but at least I'm focused. Yeah,
I know it.
Okay, all right.
Big news in Oklahoma politics.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Senator James Inhofe. By the way, one day I need to show everybody. Senator James Inhofe gave me one of 5 keys to the city.
Really?
I think I'm the only non-family member to receive a key to the city of Tulsa. Hmm. I think you know, people who live here, most of them know, he used to be mayor of Tulsa.
I loved it when he was mayor.
And he gave me a key to the city of Tulsa from back when I was on the radio. And I treasure it. It's in my other office over there. Anyway, and I actually like the senator. He's not a perfect person. Mm-hmm. I think he is a very honest, legitimate. Everything he does with a purpose, a legitimate belief, okay? Mm-hmm. That's why I've always supported him. Oh, let me put it, not always. I didn't support him initially. then I actually went to see him in person and listened to him. I never introduced myself, anything like that. I just sat and listened to what he said, and what he said made sense. Okay, mm-hmm. So I began to agree with him, mm-hmm. and I understood he's not a fake politician. He's not a guy. He's not a guy that had to get rich by going to Washington. Let's put it that way. Yeah, there's some people, we won't mention any names, that got rid or got rich, paid off school debt, things like that, became wealthy by going to Washington, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's not one of those, okay? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Now, he's gotten up there in years, mm-hmm. as they used to say, long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a good thing. We've been expecting him to retire. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun, though, because mm-hmm. they're lining up.
Oh, boy, are
they're lining up to take his place.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to defer to our Sooner Politics expert here. Tell us who all is lining up for the spot.
Here are the names in no particular order that are being mentioned. Matt Pinnell, up until this week, was fully announcing his intention to seek another term this fall as lieutenant governor. Okay?
Well, but wait. So Senator Inhofe's not up, though, for another 2 years, right? In 24.
But when a vacancy happens during a regular election year, we just go ahead and run that special election in sync with our normal primary and general
election. Right, but I think I heard yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, I think the senator is planning on finishing out his term.
Yeah, either...
Which I think would be the better way to do it.
No, he's got 4 more years.
Well, he's got 4 more.
Yeah, okay. No, he intended... In fact, when it was first announced a couple days ago, a political consultant called me and shared the news with me. He said he's planning to officially do it early next week.
To announce.
But now the cat's out of the bag, even so much that he's now getting behind, here's another name, his chief of staff.
That nobody knows.
Yeah, I hear his last name's Holland, like the tulips, okay? Holland. Who knows? And he's had plenty of chiefs of staff. I mean, Steve Edwards, a longtime friend of mine, was his chief of staff many years ago. So T.W. Shannon's another name that's always being mentioned, right? T.W. has run for the U.S. Senate in a special election. Unfortunately for him, he lost that one. But and he told me this last spring. He said, yeah, there's something I'm interested in. I'm just not now. So there's one name, Kevin Hearn. In the past has said, yeah, when Inhofe's done, I may very well be interested in it. Mark Wayne Mullen. So now you got 2 Congress members, as a House representative, that are interested in moving over. So you've got those names, and other people have said, man, it'd be
that's
nice.
That's just the Republicans.
Yeah, and Bridenstine. Now, Broyles, the one who took him on, couple years ago, she's in the doghouse.
Oh my goodness. She's, okay, wait. Time out. Tell that story.
Oh God. Well.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this is.
What's the song that Hoba Stank, I'm not a perfect person.
She running again? Was she planning on running again?
Because
if she was, I think she's
toast. Running from the police.
I think. You mean from?
She's blaming some sleeping pills. For her drunkenness, sleeping pills, including the vomit in a shoe, right? I mean, she just had a really, really bad week.
How do you do something? Well, okay, first of all, let's tell everybody what she did. What happened?
You know, I'm sorry. I don't have all the details.
All right, let me try to tell as far as I know. Okay. There apparently was a middle school. That's what makes it so bad. This was a middle school sleepover.
Oh, God.
Oh, you didn't know that part.
Children.
Yeah, there was a middle school sleepover, and apparently she got sideways with one or more of these 12 or 13-year-old girls, and she started calling them names. I think she was calling one or more ugly and just basically calling them names. and maybe some profanities came out, and then she was throwing up, and it, let's just put it this way, it was not a pretty sight.
And she's a former news anchor.
Former news anchor, and it's funny because I used to, I started getting these back when I was on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
before I quit Twitter, and I used to see her tweets, and I used to love just getting on there, just giving her a hard time. I would just poke the bear,
mm-hmm.
and just let her have it. And to her credit, she never blocked me. So I used to get into it with her little supporters. But anyway, I think she thought her charm and her, I mean, she was a pretty lady. She was very mm-hmm. attractive. She mm-hmm. sounded good. But you could tell it was just too polished, a polished line. She was spewing the typical Democrat line. It was the party line, and people could see right through it, and so it didn't work. But this is what, as they say, stick a fork in it, she's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not. And I'm not one of these people who likes to revel in somebody's demise. In this way, it was such a bad scene, such a horrible scene,
mm-hmm.
that it really kind of bothers me. I do not like to see any grown person go through this, okay? Mm-hmm. Unless it's Hillary Clinton, of course.
Yeah.
But this wouldn't be bad enough to happen to her. And Hillary Clinton's probably the only person that could try to come out of this and make it look good.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, Abby Broyles, I do not want to see this as a good thing. I feel bad for the lady. I hope, and I'm sure she'll come out of this. And I don't think she's cut out to be a leader of
mm-hmm.
of anything. You know, just she needs to be happy and take care of her family, and not in a domestic way. I mean, whatever, you know, leadership she can provide to her family, her community, or whatever. But it wasn't a pretty thing.
Yeah. Should I throw out a Democrat name to you?
Yeah.
I think. And I may get in a lot of trouble for doing this because
I think I know who you're going to talk about.
Okay.
The former congressman?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
Eric Proctor. Eric was a member of the House. I've known Eric. He's been a stand-up guy. He is fairly liberal in a number of things. He professes to be a very committed Christian. In fact, we have mutual friends, Christian friends. He's, I believe, vice president of First Oklahoma Bank, if I remember right. In fact, he hired his former Democrat leader, Scott, I can't remember names. But anyway, so Eric Proctor would probably be the best
Democrat
I could think of. There's a couple others in the House. David Perryman would be good. Nobody from Oklahoma City, okay? The Democrat Party there, and most of the Democrat Party in Tulsa, you know what? You got to go find somebody with gravitas, Democrats.
Well, the only person I was thinking of.
Carson, right?
No.
Oh my goodness. David Boren.
Dan
Boren, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dan. Yeah. Dan, to me, is the only one formidable enough, I think, in my opinion, to do it. But that's if Dan, I think Dan has his sights more set on governor.
Hmm.
And I don't think it'll be this time. I think he may wait another time.
Sure.
Which would be a perfect
time.
When
it's an open governor seat.
Right, when it's open, plus his dad, I don't know if his dad will still be around or his dad may not mm-hmm. care anymore at that point. Because from what I understand, his dad, out of deference to his dad,
yeah.
he... Because, as I understand, Dan really wanted to switch parties. Because
mm-hmm.
he, you know, it's the old saying, he didn't leave the party left him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you know, this is just what I've heard. But he is one Democrat that I could support from Oklahoma because mm-hmm. I've just seen him truly be a man of Oklahoma values. And that's why he mm-hmm. left Congress, because the party left him. He couldn't deal with it anymore. And so I think that would be hard for him to go and have to. He had to deal with Pelosi before it was Joe Biden. Dealing with Schumer, I don't think he could, that wouldn't be any better. So any Democrat that would run, I don't care how nice Proctor may be or whatever, whoever it would be, you've got to remember they're going to be under Chuck Schumer.
Yes.
So you can just basically negate anything that they would do other than keep us from having a supermajority.
Well, keep in mind, Joe Manchin was under Chuck Schumer, too.
Right. But, yeah, but still, he makes it 50 to 49.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course, the whole makeup of the Senate's going to be radically different by the time this would have an impact.
Well, we hope it is.
I hope it's
radically different.
And now just... Eric Proctor is actually, he came and spoke to the Tulsa 912 Tea Party group a couple of times. He fought against some of the tax increases until the Democrats got the formula they wanted, and then they jumped. But most of our Republicans in the legislature were for all of those tax increases.
Yeah.
So, there's another name. Now, back to the Republicans. I don't know. There could be some other people. Here's the thing.
There's enough.
Well, a political consultant called me, broke the news to me a couple days ago. He said, Dave, I'm telling you, $5 to $7 million is what's going to take.
I don't know why some of those names that you have don't run against our current senator that's up right now.
Langford.
Because honestly, I think probably a handful of those could beat him now.
Well, of course, Nathan Dom is already in that race.
Listen, I think I consider Nathan as a friend. Mm-hmm. I think Nathan is a good guy. I just don't think Nathan stands a chance.
I think we need to invite him in. It'd be good.
I'm not opposed to it. I'll be happy to invite him in. And I just don't think, it's just my gut. And you know how my gut is.
Yeah,
I'm so often, and I know a lot of my friends, especially my very conservative friends, are going to sit there and tell me why I'm wrong. But I'm just saying, my gut tells me Nathan Dom does not stand a chance to beat Langford.
Now, for Nathan, this is a freebie because he's in the middle of a four-year term as a sitting Oklahoma senator. So, you know... But I think he adds to the dialogue, and I think that's good. Jackson Lawmire, of course, was my first, and I've interviewed him a couple of times and had some private conversations. I don't know. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah, I'm just thinking with the names that you put out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, honestly, I think what's his name? Who ran against him initially the first time they ran?
Against who?
Against Langford the first time.
T.W.
I think T.W. would have a good chance against him now.
Yeah. And this is where money comes in. Rhonda Villamont-Smith, a mutual friend of ours, said, you know, when you have these very, very short election cycles, you know, I mean, people have had years to get ready for the midterms.
Right.
But this is something, unless you're Holland, the chief of staff or enough, you know, you didn't know about this until this week. And all of a sudden, you've got a June primary, and you're talking just to get enough skin in the game to be credible, you got to raise $5 million. Now it's who can get the money. Because if you've got a longer cycle, you can door knock the heck out of it if you're a grassroots candidate.
Well, maybe they should just give George Soros a call.
And that is another point. Let's see what the Oklahoma tribes are, because you and I both believe they're very involved in trying to unseat Governor Stitt.
Yeah.
And the tribes get involved when there's something they want out of it. 1990, they got behind David Walters and got him in. Of course, almost got him impeached. If it hadn't been for a crooked DA, he would have been impeached for felonies in financing. And then in 2002, I was supporting Steve Largent. He lost out barely to Brad Henry. And that was when the tribes wanted casino gambling. Previous time, they wanted bingo. You know, now they want to keep that compact going. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they are very involved in it. And what they're doing is right now, it seems like mostly dark money. because there's only so much it can give to a campaign, right. You know, or collaborate with it. That would be illegal too. And Hofmeister's already faced an indictment for collaborating with dark money. And so let's see what goes on there. And that was another thing, is Hofmeister, which she, I don't think she has snowball's chance in hell as U.S. Senator. She might be able to pull a legitimate Democrat, you know, campaign.
Primary.
For governor.
Right.
Because the issues are different.
Right.
You know, so, but yes. that's kind of my synopsis of it, and we'll see what goes on.
Right.
And we're already in talks with Pinnell about coming on the show, and I'm going to be trying to solidify that, too.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think Matt would make a good senator. I'll be honest, I think all of them, every name you named would be good. I just think they'd all be better than Lankford. And I don't know if you've noticed, but every time you turn around, Lankford's on everybody's show, national program. You know, he's on Newsmax. He's on Fox. I mean, the guy knows how to get him on stuff on TV, and he sounds like this guy. You know, he spent 4 years doing everything he could against Trump, and then all of a sudden, when it's election time, now all of a sudden he's Trump's buddy. He's Trump's friend. You know, he's Mr. Conservative, you know, and all that. So, hey, Dave, we better wrap it up, buddy. Hey, everybody, I hope we have wet your whistle. We need to go ahead and, just get you guys to pray. Let's not forget, I was going to say Crimea, but let's not forget Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more involved here, everybody. There's rumors that Putin may have some terminal illness and he feels that he has nothing to lose himself, and that, you know, if that is the case, you definitely don't want to mess with him, you know, with his finger on the nuclear button. Could this be the beginning of Armageddon? Mm-hmm. There's so many things at stake here. You've got China. Will China take Taiwan? We haven't even gotten to any of that. And honestly, I'll be honest, we really don't even want to get to all of that because we have enough people on TV, on radio, everything, trying to deal. I think we want to just give our opinion on the surface things and have you guys then dig yourself for more, okay? And we do want to try to bring some of the spiritual aspect to it. So anyway, we're going to leave you with that, and hopefully, hopefully we've been helpful to you. And please do contact us at freshblack.coffee for the video, and it's got so much more. It's got links to everything else on there. Or go to freshblackcoffee.podbean.com, freshblackcoffee.podbean.com if you just want to listen to it. And
audio,
just on the audio, and pass that to your friends. If you want to get the book, you can get it on freshblackcoffee.com or ugandanmiss.com. There's so many things, and you can back this up and get all of that info. But we do thank you so much for your listening, and we hope that this is helpful to you, okay? Anyway, God bless everybody, and we hope to see you next week. If I can get this to work. Oh, by the way, this is Salvador again with God.
For they knew with God the consequences he might face.